traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network. Glad that you could be with us today here at 1 o'clock every Thursday on BBS Radio and various other stations that you can get us on. Just go to bbsradio.com, and they'll show you how to get to them no matter what kind of link you might have, whether it's a phone, a computer, or, you know, or what have you. And everything. We're going to start off today's show. We have now live on IENTV.org with the Keeneland sales that are on. They're on hit number 988, and it sold for $22,000. And that was a good price for that horse. I had it at $18,000, but they got into a little bit of a bidding contest, and she ended up going for $22,000. Which was really good for the owners of the farm. And also, that's live and exciting. It'll be all afternoon. You can go and you can watch it and see what's going on. If you'd like to call into the show, it's 323-744-4831. That's our call-in number. And so we're going to kick things off here with our Flying Turn segment. It'll be short but brief because the sales that they have, it's the Winter Racehorse Marketplace. It's Monday, January 17th, 2022 at 1 p.m. at the Meadowlands Race Paddock in New Jersey. They have 100 horses on tap to go through the auction ring, and they have some very, very nice horses that will be available there this year. And a lot of good winners come out of these sales. You know, it's just amazing how they come out of there. You can buy a horse that's ready to race. You can buy a horse that's ready for breeding. A lot of these horses are four-year-olds. You know, some are six-year-olds, three-year-olds. Just kind of a mixed bag of horses there. And what I like is there's this one mare that should go pretty decent. Her name's Firefly. She's a nice horse. She was bred to Sweet Lou in Pennsylvania, 5'5 of 21. This is a nice horse. She's out of a dam that earned $8,150 by Better's Delight, and was really a good horse, you know, in there. And then we have Firefly, has a stakes-winning five-year-old mare, Some Beach Somewhere. Really nice horse. She's just really going somewhere with this horse. She might be down on the beach and help you get there for your retirement, and you go down on the beach and talk about her racing career. But that's the Tattersall sales, the 2022 winter mix sales in East Rutherford, New Jersey at the Meadowlands. It's January 17th at 1 p.m. And tune in, and you can see the sales live on International Equine Network on the 17th. Now we're going to get into some things that it's going to be kind of interesting for us here. The horse industry has always had a misnomer and notorious for being not on the up and up. It's just a nature of what happens, and no matter whether it's football or whether it's basketball, baseball, car racing, when there's money and gambling involved, there's always somebody trying to get ahead of the game, and all. So those are the kind of things that you know, we're looking at here now. And thank goodness that our organizations and associations and racetracks and states have come together to really monitor and really watch things closely so the betting public and the consumer can get a fair shake. We don't want anything to happen to that. And then the California Horse Racing a gentleman by the name of Dr. Blee on administrative leave. California Horse Racing Board first year equine medical director, Dr. Jeff Blee, has been placed on administrative leave pending a further review of his veterinarian license, according to a report from the Los Angeles Times. The move follows Blee having his license suspended January 3rd at the request of the California Veterinary Medical Board after a December 24th emergency hearing. A formal hearing with the doctor is planned January 21st. Early last week, the California Horse Racing Board said Blee would continue his equine medical director believing California regulations did not require a veterinarian license for the role. He said, but the board was informed January 11th that its inter preparation of those procedures was not entirely accurate, according to the Times. Asked to confirm the Times report, Scott Cheney, executive director, declined comment to the Blood Horse, but continued to express his support for Blee. Blee has been accused of 8 violations. Charges, his supporters believe that the lack of merit necessary to suspend his license. The alleged violations, some of which claim Blee and other veterinarians prescribe and administer medications to horses without an examination or medical necessity, occurred when he was an equine veterinarian in private practice in Southern California. Backstretches, he took his position with the board last summer. 2 other veterinarians charged in the anonymous complaint violating Blee, Vince Baker and Sarah Graybill Jones, have not had an emergency license hearing and retained their license pending a formal hearing. The complaint against Jeff Blee is nonsense, Blee's predecessors, Dr. Rick Arthur, told Blood Horse. The Times reported author Arthur sent a letter to Lourdes Castro Ramirez, secretary of the Business Consumer Service and Housing Agency, which oversees the California Racing Board, and Dr. calling the accusation against Blee a political hit job. In the interim, the suspension ordered last week, administrative law judge Nana Chin wrote that the doctor was concerned Blee could affect ongoing inquiries by the California Racing Board into sudden racehorse deaths. The Times previously reported that the undeniable inquiry of the concern involves Kentucky Derby, presented by winner of Woodford Reserve, first place finisher Medina Spirit. Bob Baffert trainee who collapsed and died following a workout at Santa Anita last month. Testing and a necropsy are underway in the customary procedure for horses that die at a facility overseen by the California Racing Board. Blee initially had played a role in overseeing those findings. However, the California Racing Board announced last week, following Blee's interim suspension, that John Pasco, Executive Associate Dean of the University of California Davis School of Veterinary Medicine, had been asked to do so. According to the Times, Blee formally was placed on administrative leave by the UC Davis, from whom he formerly worked before he landed the California Horse Board Association position. The next California board meeting, January 20, is one day before Blee's upcoming license hearing. The board typically reserves discussion in personal and legal matters to its closed sessions that follows its regular session made available to the public and media. So what they've done is they find themselves in a quandary about the rules and regulations and how they're supposed to be and things, because for a long time, this has not been something that racing boards in the states have, dealt with on a regular basis. One of the reasons why they haven't done that is because the about rules and regulations just kind of being taken for granted and overlooked. And so now more people are coming forward, and we're finding out exactly, you know, what's going on with any and everything and anybody that's involved in the racing. And especially like with Medina Spirit that run the Kentucky Derby. They're back looking at him, seeing what all happened with him, where he went. And in this investigation, it appears that doping of the horse with illegal medications was an ongoing thing for Medina Spirit throughout his racing career. Now, I can't say definitely for sure that that's what happened, but that's what it appears to be, because the horse dropped over with a heart attack. At times when horses at a young age, 2 and 3 year olds, are administered different medications, as they grow and get older, they tend to get an enlarged heart. And so that leads to a lot of heart attacks and, you know, a lot of difficulties for those kind of horses and everything. But like I said, not saying for sure that that's what happened, but that's where this investigation's going. They're backtracking on all the horses that this veterinarian, Dr. Blee, had treated. And what they're doing is backtracking to see if there's any common threads, if there's anything that they can find out about it. And so that's good on California Board's part. They're really going to the wall to make sure that everything is kept on the up and up and everything's honest. And hopefully it can prevent future trainers from taking procedures that are not quite, you know, good for the business or, you know, against the racing board's rules and regulations. And then now we're going to go from there. Now, having then this that Dr. Blee's article set it up for what, you know, what's going on here today. We have the first trial set for defendants in the federal doping case. The trial for Seth Fishman and Lisa Gianelli will be held January 19th. Seems like all around the middle of the month or the end of the month, everybody's going to court here. The federal horse doping case against two defendants in Southern District of New York got a bit more real when the order was entered, set in January 19th as the first firm trial date. The order signed on January 7th by U.S. District Judge Mary Kay Vesco was entered in January 10th and says, in light of the adjournment of the trial in another case, the trial of the Group 1 defendants will begin January 19th, 2020. And there's quite a few people that are going on trial here coming up. It's going to be interesting to see. I think it's 20-plus people that have been indicted so far. The Group 1 defendants were identified in court records on November 1st, 2021, Seth Fishman and Lisa Gianelli. Their cases received what is described as the first backup slot to commence trial January 19th, and they were ordered to be ready now that they are first in line. Fishman was indicted early in 2020 on 2 counts of conspiracy to misbrand medications were designed for use on racehorses. Each count carries a maximum penalty of 5 years incarceration and a $10,000 fine. Gianelli was charged with the same offense in one of those counts. John Fishman, who originally named among Group 1 defendants, entered a guilty plea on October 6th to 1 count of drug misbranding and adulteration, and is scheduled for sentencing February 8th. The plea agreement calls for between 12 and 18 months incarceration and a fine. At the time of the incident, Assistant U.S. Attorney Andrew Adams said defendants focused on doping and the use of performance-enhancing drugs to win professional horse races in the thoroughbred and standardbred industry. A set of defendants called Group 2 in court documents received the third backup slot to begin the trial on March 21st, 2022, and Visco ordered those parties to be prepared. They were identified as Rick Dane Jr. and Rebecca Link. Link entered a into a deferred prosecution agreement during a December 21 virtual hearing before VSCO, and the agreement requires that Link to be supervised for 2 years by U.S. Parental Services officers and be subject to a number of restrictions during that time. At the end of the 2 years and approved, she has complied, all charges for Link faces and part of the federal indictment will be dropped. So now it's telling you that some of these people are coming forward and telling what they know and everything. And it's kind of interesting when they face a penalty and a fine or jail sentence, and how fast they said, okay, I'll tell you, you know, what I know and what I did. And, they got caught. And so now, you know, they're paying for it. Group three defendants have been identified as Jason Service, Alexander Chan, Erica Garcia, and Michael Tenoso. It's not unlikely that those cases will be set for trial the first half of this year. As the status conference is set for all these cases January 13th, which is today, the court will want to know whether Group 1 cases are likely to need a trial as opposed to the parties or other of them. Entering a plea agreement with the prosecution and defense teams are prepared to announce ready on date trial. And other preliminary matters, it would not be surprising if the court discusses plans for the Group 2 trial date, March 21st, to be a potential trial date for Group 3. So in other words, they're weighing out all their options with their attorneys and all the defendants are, and seeing which is going to be the best road for them to travel. Most of them will probably take a plea agreement, and that can be quite expensive. And their days in the horse business are virtually over. They were not allowed to be in or have anything to do or anything with the horse industry, both standardbreds or thoroughbreds, that type of thing. Status conference is set for all these cases January 13th. The court will want to know whether the Group 1 cases are likely to need a trial as opposed to the parties or either of them. Entering a plea agreement, whether the prosecution and defense teams are prepared to announce ready on date of trial, and other preliminary matters. It would not be surprising if the court discusses plans for the Group 2 trial March 21st and the potential trial of Group 3 defendants. So they're trying to ball them all up and get them all in the same period of time so that they can get out of the court system. But basically what's happened is we have a lot of people that are trying to take that shortcut to the winner's circle here in the horse business. And it's always been, it's a lot of things went, unspoken. A lot of people turned their backs to things that were going on. And a good majority of the people always were trying to get that extra length or that extra second of speed, out of their horses. And, we've seen everything in the business from witch doctor practices to modern medical technology. And it's kind of sad to say that some of the biggest people in the business have ended up doing that. And, they came up with a few different ideas of what's going on, that type of thing. And we look to see what all is going on, in the business. And it's gone from the top down to the bottom. The people that get caught at the bottom, there's not much said about it. They just pay their fine and go about their way. But when it comes to people like Bob Baffert, he has now established a history of disregarding rules and regulations and everything. And it was kind of sad because when presented with the violations, one thing kind of led to another. And, we don't know what exactly happened, We just know, you know, what the racing associations had found out, you know, what's going on. And now, unfortunately, Bob has been, Derby points are not being recognized of any of his horses that are on the trail of the Kentucky Derby. You know, and that's unfortunate because now this dates back to five, six years back, you know, on some of these violations and everything. They still don't have the Medina Spirit thing, you know, figured out yet, money-wise, and, you know, who actually won that race. And also, that's still, you know, involved in the courts. And I noticed one thing, just about in anything you do in business, it doesn't matter whether it's horses or sports or, you know, business, general business practices. What happens is when somebody gets caught, they're trying to buy time and figure things out. Now, Bob Baffert has filed a suit against Churchill Downs to recognize his points of what he's doing. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out, because usually if you're suspended in another state, you're not, there's reciprocity and you're not allowed to, you know, race in other states. But, like I said, it's all in the court now, and it's kind of a shame, you know, to have that happen, you know, when you can't sit down and discuss what the charges filed against you are and, you know, explain your side of the story. You know, and work something out that's amicable for everybody involved and everything. But the long and short of it is we're trying to protect the public, you know, that type of thing. And it's not so much about Bob getting fined for these violations. He's focused on being able to run in the Kentucky Derby because he can't, it's hard to succeed in the business whenever you, are a trainer and something goes wrong or something happens and you go to your owner and say, I'm sorry, you know, we can't, we got a great horse here, a potential Derby runner. And, you know, we can't run him because of a mistake that I made, you know, and you lose owners that way. And the bad part about it is I feel sorry for the owners that he has now that are in the situation that own the horses that are getting those Derby points. You know, and to what happens after a court hearing, because literally after a court hearing, you know, you can be totally, you know, exonerated, or, you know, you could have sanctions put against you and fines put against you. And again, sanctions were put against, Bob Baffert for his Derby points. And now he's going to go to court and fight that. And that's the last thing we need in the business is people to be fighting, you know, these rules and regulations, because in one hand, you know, it's bad to the public eye because most of the people see the articles in the papers. It says, you know, Bob Baffert charged with doping horses, you know, and so, you know, that's what they see. And all they see is Bob Baffert. They don't go into the detail on it, you know, and then they see coming up, Bob Baffert's fighting the, you know, the sanctions against him. You know, that type of thing. And it's just drawn out and it detracts away from the spirit of the game. You know, it really does. And the whole long and short of it is we want honesty. We want safety. We want everything that we can do for the horses, you know, to make them, the public think, hey, you know, this is a great deal that we're doing, you know, here for the horses and everything. So that's my take on it, strictly my opinion. You know, it's just hearsay. A lot of the things that, you know, we talk about here is strictly opinions. You know, it's not trying to damage anybody. It's not trying to, you know, put anybody down. We're just trying to expose, you know, to our audiences, you know, what's going on in the business and try to explain it a little bit, you know. And if you ever have any questions, just call us at 561-466-1272 and we can, you know, talk to you and explain it to you and maybe even have you on the show to talk about, you know, your experiences and what your opinion is, you know, your equine opinion of how things are going. So now to a lighter note, and we had a real good turnout here last week. It's called the Art of Racing. The Art of Racing contests to honor Preakness Stakes. And this is really something that's really nice. In fact, we had an art show here at Sunshine Metals a couple Saturdays ago, and we had some renowned artists that had their equine paintings and sculptures and everything on sale here, and got quite a few people here. We had over 100 people that came out to visit and see what they were doing. And it was really a good show. In fact, it was so good that artists asked us if we could have another art show out here in March. We'll keep you updated on it. But the thing that we're looking at here now is called the Art of Racing Contest to Honor Preakness Stakes. And this is an art contest. It's going to be honoring the Preakness in Baltimore, Maryland by the Baltimore, Maryland Jockey Club. It says, Maryland Jockey Club had partnered with the Maryland Institute College of Art, MICA, to launch the Art of Racing, a unique art competition to honor the second jewel of the Triple Crown series and its impact on Baltimore, established more than four decades ago. The relationship between the Maryland Jockey Club and MICA takes a step forward with this community-wide call for entries of original and two-dimensional and visual arts that depicts the unique elements of thoroughbred horse racing and the legendary Preakness Stakes. From today's launch until the submission of deadline on March 1st, 2022, artists may submit their entries to www.preakness.com. The Art of Racing. After his backslash, it's www.preakness.com/ the art hyphen of racing hyphen. Just go to our website and you'll see where it's at on there. It says which of the submissions will be available for public viewing. March 2nd through March 20th, visitors to the Art of Racing website can cast their votes for their favorite work of art. The top 10 vote getters will then be entered into the finalist category, with the winning piece selected by an esteemed panel of judges representing the artistic business philanthropic, and the political communities that allow Park Heights to thrive as the home of the Preakness. This is like we were talking about before. This is a way to get the knowledge of our industry out and to show you that you don't have to be a groom or a trainer or a hot walker to do what you're what they're doing. It's something that's very unique and different, and it's something that an artist who may not know much about horse racing but knows a lot about painting horses and sculpting horses and all can add their interject their abilities and talents into what we have, and it makes it entertaining for a lot of people to go out and see an equine art show, and knowing that they don't have to know about racing or participate in, racing, that type of thing. The winning artist of the inaugural competition will receive a $4,000 stipend and two tickets to the Preakness 147 on May 21st, 2022. In addition, their work will be reproduced on Preakness 147 merchandise with the Park Heights Renaissance as the beneficiary of all sales proceeds, which will be used to support activities of the nonprofit organization and as it pursues affordable housing for families and provides employment opportunities for members of the Park Heights community. So see, this is another way that the horse industry is trying to help their community get out and get going. And not only does attracting all the business and all the people to come to see the Preakness, in March 21st, but they make a financial difference for the community. And that's really exciting for Park Heights because that affords them to do a lot of different things. The Art of Racing is a part of an ongoing partnership between FIRST and the Park and Park Heights Renaissance that include honoring the late community advocate George E. Mitchell through the George E. Mitchell Black Eyed Susan Stakes and the George E. Mitchell Heights Community Fellowship Grant. The Art of Racing builds upon the legacy of the initiatives by recognizing and honoring individuals who, much like Mike Mitchell himself, demonstrated an extraordinary commitment to the Park Heights community. So it's not like recognizing people from all over the world. What they're doing is they're keeping it at home to Park Heights, and they're honoring the people that made Park Heights great and the people that made it possible to have the Preakness at Pimlico. And that's what's really exciting about that. It's all hometown people that are being honored, this type of thing. And being an artist, you don't have to be from Park Heights. You don't have to be from Maryland. You can be from anywhere in the world. Just submit your painting or your sculptures and all that depict the Art of Racing. And, who knows, you might end up getting two tickets to the Preakness on March 21st and $4,000 to spend there at the track. The visual elements behind the Preakness Stakes captivating the imagination both the race day and year-round, said David Wilson, Chief Marketing Officer. First, the Art of Racing commemorates and celebrates the most iconic sporting events in Maryland and nationwide. It also represents the opportunity for a modern visual interpretation of the Preakness Stakes as we redefine sport, the sport to connect with a new generation of fans. So again, these are things that are done that we're trying to get new fans into our business. That's very important in what we're doing here. It says, the Preakness is one of the most esteemed public events for Maryland, and his inaugural competition celebrates the importance of the unique way Dr. Leslie Keene Hammond, the founding director of the Center for Race and Culture at MIC and a member of the judging panel for the Art of Racing. There is an illustrious history between MIC and the Preakness Stakes that began in the 1970s when MIC professor Raul Middleman led his classes in painting murals at Pimlico Racecourse. The seven murals Middleman created with his students, which lived in perpetuity behind the course's grandstand, provided an intimate look at the tradition defined by history and character. Raul Middleman enriched the lives of his students by giving them hands-on opportunity to experience commercial art making, said Dr. Tiffany Holmes of MIC, the interim vice president of the academic affairs and provost. The Art of Racing builds upon the Professor Middleman's legacy by commissioning artists from MIC and across Maryland to provide the interpretations of Maryland's time honored by the tradition of thoroughbred racing. For more information, on the Art of Racing, please visit www.preakness.com/the-art-of-racing or follow the industry, the Preakness Stakes and Preakness on social media. So this again goes back to show you that we are trying to do a lot of things that not only, are good for the industry, but that are good for what we're doing, to promote the community activities that we have there that are related to racing, but not, you don't have to be a participant in the industry. You can just be a casual observer. A lot of times if you go out to the different racetracks or, like we did here at Sunshine Meadows, the artists came out and they set up their easels and they did all their painting and talked to people and, did everything they can do, expose the general public to the art of horse racing and horse showing and farms, that type of thing. And it's really exciting to see some of these horses. And we had a unique opportunity to allow the artists that we had, you know, here with us, to go on to close up to the arenas and to the event venues. And as the horses walked by, it was amazing how many of them slowed down or even stopped and looked at the horse paintings and the statues and everything. And we had one horse that literally had no connection with the artist at all. The artist had never seen this horse before, but she had a concept of what horses should look like. And so she painted this, and when this horse walked by, it looked like you were looking in him, the horse was looking in a mirror. He stood there for at least 2 minutes just staring at the painting, just looking at it. So, you know, that was an unusual thing. And it got a lot of people involved in what we were, you know, doing here with him. And also, you know, talking about the horses and the things that we're doing here, you know, and trying to get the public involved. And talking in the earlier part of the show about, you know, the things that were going on as far as, you know, the illegalities of the horse industry and, you know, how they're trying to be corrected. One of the things that I really like and a part of is we have an association out there called New Vocations, Rehab, Retrain, Rehome. New Vocations has opened up a satellite facility in Ocala, Florida, the next facility, the new facility will focus on rehabbing, retraining, and rehoming retired racehorses. It says New Vocation Racehorses Racehorse Adoption Program has announced that it has opened a satellite facility near Ocala, Florida, as it continues to expand its aftercare efforts. It says the new facility in Ocala focuses on the rehabbing, retraining, and rehoming of retiring thoroughbred racehorses. The nation's oldest and largest racehorse adoption charity now has 9 facilities in 6 states. The new facility is based in at Trillium Sport Horses in Anthony, Florida, just a few miles from Ocala. Aaron McDonald, an international 3-day eventing rider with years of experience restarting off-track thoroughbreds and new careers, will oversee the horse's rehabilitation and training. New Vocations Thoroughbred Program Director Anna Ford said there's been a need for Florida facilities for several years. On an average, about 60 horses each year are shipped in more than 700 miles from Florida to Lexington to our Lexington facility. Ford said, the horses coming from Florida racetracks and training centers will now have a much shorter travel distance and duration as they start their new chapters in life. McDonald said, it's also so gratifying to help thoroughbreds smoothly transition into a second career after the racing. I'm honored to be working with such outstanding aftercare organizations and to join in their efforts to provide Florida-based horses with and their connections with a quality rehabilitation and retraining program. Ford said an Ocala area facility has been a part of the new location strategic plan for the past couple of years, but it has been delayed due to the pandemic. As the need for aftercare services continue to grow, we will do our best to expand and accommodate more horses, she said. The first horses arrived in the Florida facility late in 2021. This fourth 3 have been adopted into experienced, loving homes. Several more horses are making progress in various stages of rehab and training and will be available for adoption soon. For more information on donating a horse to the Florida facility or supporting its efforts, visit newvocations.org. /donate a horse. Their phone number is 859-252-9574 or email Anna at horse adoption.com. They're a great organization. They, like I said, they've got 6 facilities across the country. And, you know, it's given the horses something to go to a second career, second life, you know, to go to when they get through racing. And that's very important, you know, to have a goal, you know, to do all these things that that they're doing with the adoption agencies and everything. And it was kind of nice. I was in Maryland. It's a Maryland horse show. And the day that I was there, previous employer that I had was there. And the trainer, the owner, the jockey, the groom, the hot walker were all there to watch this horse show. And it was kind of unique, you know, to see, you know, the horse had a brilliant career, made over $1 million on the racetrack. And then during the Preakness week, the owners and the trainers and the grooms and the hot walkers and jockeys and exercise riders all came out to visit with the horse. And I said, you know, it's kind of nice to see that, you know, had a successful career on the track and went on to be successful in the show horse industry. You know, a lot of these horses just make you know, make good trail horses, you know, or just good riding around the farm horses, and others go on to show and go to great, you know, go to great victories in the show horse industry. And that's the great thing about that, you know, for the thoroughbreds and the standardbreds have mirrored the same thing with the standardbred, you know, aftercare programs. And we'll go into that at another time, but they're doing the same thing. So, you know, they're rehoming and getting these horses ready for a second career. And it's one of the most fantastic things that you'll ever see. You know, the love that the horse that gives you and the love that's given back to the horse in these new programs and projects, you know, are certainly well worth it. So give us a call and let us know if you're interested in getting a horse at 561-466-1272. Now we're going to get into some interesting things here. A few months ago, well, actually about 8 months ago, right before I got sick, I invested into myracehorse.com. And it's one of the greatest things that you can ever do. It's not expensive, or it can be expensive, depending on how many shares of stock you buy into a horse and everything. And it's exciting. They send you updates on how your horse is doing, when he's going to race, when he races. They invite you to the track to see your horse run and get in the winner's circle, you know, if he wins. And that's myracehorse.com. You can give them an email and they'll tell you all about it. And it's very, very exciting because they have horses that are winning, you know, grade 1 races and horses that are just, you know, regular horses winning, you know, smaller races. But for me, actually, it was interesting. I bought some shares into a horse called Ironworks. Ironworks is a nicely bred horse. He's a distorted humor stud. The mare is Silver Pocket Foal by Indian Charlie. And Todd Pletcher's training him. He's a 3-year-old. And back in the summertime, he had an ankle chip taken out of his ankle, and Todd brought him along real slow. And Todd's really good at bringing maidens and horses, getting them ready to run the first time out. Now, Ironworks had Louis Saez on it. He was carrying 120 pounds, and they were going 6 furlongs. And like I said, this was his first start. It was a $60,000 maiden claiming. A maiden special weight for 3-year-olds, carrying 120 pounds, going 6 furlongs. And it had a nice field. There was a 9-horse field. And what excited me about it is first-time starters, you know, you don't know how they're going to run or where they're going to go. And so when I'm sitting there and I'm starting to look at all these different things and saying, oh, man, what's going to happen in this deal? You know, so long story short, a couple Saturdays ago, he was January 8th to be exact. Ironworks went to Gulfstream to race, and he raced in race number 4 on January 8th, maiden special weight, and in 9-horse field, and it was really good. And I was so excited about it because, you know, it's a horse race. You can win, you can finish last, finish somewhere in the middle. You can end up scratching your head or you can be jumping up and down and saying, you know, my goodness, you know, what a race, you know. And then immediately, even though this was just his first start and everything, and he's a three-year-old, you automatically start thinking Kentucky Derby, you know, no matter what kind of race it is. You know, he won, and, you know, maybe he'll get better, maybe he won't. So anyhow, long story short, we had, like I said, nine-horse field, and Ironworks with Luis Saez in the iron came out of post position nine. He broke on to the top of the pack, second. He was second by a length and a half at the half-mile pole. And at the finish, he won the race by four lengths. And it says, Ironworks prompted the pace three wide, took over turning for home, and drew off under a drive. And so, you know, that tells me that with him, which was exciting, because now, you know, he had nine horse field, not real big, not too small. He got dirt in his face. And then when he came to the head of the stretch, was asked to run without any urging, he ran, and he went by four lengths. So we don't know what's going to happen with him. Todd's planned out a future for him, and we're going to see where he goes with it. And it's kind of exciting because, you know, you just never can tell. You know, that might have been his race of the year. That might have been his only race that he ever run good in, but yet it could be the first of many and everything. So Putra adds two winners at Gulfstream Park. My racehorse and Spendthrift Farms Ironworks made a successful debut January 8th when he outrun a field of eight other three-year-olds to take a six-foot-long maiden special weight at Gulfstream Park. Trained by Todd Pletcher, the Distorted Humor Colt was a $550,000 purchase at the Ocala Breeder Sales Spring Sales as a two-year-old, where he was consigned by Mayberry Farm. Racing under Luis Saez, Ironworks set just off the leader as the fractions went 22-2, 45-1 through the half mile. Ironworks took over around the far turn, pulled clear into the stretch to win by four lengths in a final time of 1:09 on a fast track. It said, it's just unbelievable, you know, how it is, you know, when you see these things. Bred by CR Farms, Ironworks is out of an Indian Charlie mare, Silver Pockets Full, who was third in the 2015 Central Bank Ashland Stakes of Grade One. So he's out of a graded stakes place mare. And so that's exciting. So you know the quality's there. Of course, Distorted Humor, you don't have to say anything about. He's a great stallion. You know, he's really good. The following day at Hollandale Beach, another pricey maiden from the Pletcher Barn delivered a convincing victory in a maiden special weight company. Stone Street Stables Favor won a 1 mile dirt test by 3 3/4 lengths under jockey Paco Lopez in her second start. The Pioneer of the Nile filly had started once prior, finishing fourth in the November 26th debut at Aqueduct Racetrack in New York. In Sunday races, she raced third in the early first quarter mile, went to 23-7, and the half mile went 46-1. Advancing around the bend, she took over the leaders into the lane and pulled away smartly, stopping the clock at 1:36-6 on a fast track. Bred by Diamond Creek Farm, Favor is out of an unbridled song mare and Fortune, daughter of multiple graded stakes winner, Stop Traffic. Favor was purchased for $500,000 from the Gainsway consignment at the Fassick Tipton Select Yearling Sale. And so, you know, these horses are going for some pretty good money here. So you know, that's what we're looking for. And I tell you what, if you go to myhorserace.com, myracehorse.com, and see what they've got, it just blows your mind what they do and how they do it there. It's fun and exciting. It's very inexpensive. It makes you a part of the business. You don't have to know a lot about the business. You just go in there And I've seen some shares go for $75, you know, and you're still a part, you know, owner of the horse, you know, a small part, like the part that I own is the last part that comes across the finish line. And that's about 2 inches of the tail, you know, that I own. So, but at least I'm there, you know, and I'm participating as an owner and really enjoying it. And, you know, my friends love going to the races and, you know, it gives you something to look forward to. And, you know, who knows, you can be as lucky as I am and get that horse that wins the first time out. And you know, you got good, you know, good feeling about it, and you don't know where the journey is going to take you. And like I said before, the journey starts here at International Equine. And for me, a part of my journey was going to myracehorse.com, buying a share or two, you know, in a horse, and look where the journey started. It started, you know, with buying the horse, buying the shares in the horse, and then the journey's first stop on my journey was at Gulfstream Park, a maiden special weight, going 6 furlongs, and he wins, and he's a 3-year-old. And he's got a lot of good racing ahead of him, and could be a lot of stake races, or it could be just a lot of, you know, just regular races. So, you know, we don't know where he's going to go, but we'll know here in the next few days or so. Then, as we talked about before, we're talking about getting information out about the horse industry. And there's a lot of ways that we get the information out about the horse industry through the media. It could be in print ads. It could be in local advertisements. It could be into television programs, radio programs. You know, HRRN does a real good radio broadcast of races live. You know, so you can get them through there. You know, we do a lot of things here that you can get from us and all. But the whole long short of it is to get the information out through various means of distribution, whether it's social network, whether it's TV, radio, print, you know, invites to farms. Now, in the last couple of years, I've had meet and greets here at Sunshine Meadows. And what we do is we invite it, it's open to the public, and you can come down and you can meet and greet trainers, owners, breeders, jockeys, drivers, show horse people from all around the world. And it's all free. It's called Meet and Greet at Sunshine Meadows. And we'll be starting that back up again this spring when the road to the Kentucky Derby continues on how they get there. But we'll do that. And so it's really nice, you know, to do that. And so to show you how important things are, Fox Sports had dropped the Fox Sports Network, and that cut out a lot of horse racing. So Belmont Stakes deal strengthened the bond between NYRA and Fox. It said the seed of a relationship between the New York Racing Association and Fox Sports that was planted 6 years ago has certainly grown into a mighty oak. The January 5th announcement that Fox Sports had secured the media rights for the Belmont Stakes for 8 years beginning in 2023 was just the latest chapter in what has been a prosperous association for both sides. This is the culmination of a 5-year plus relationship with NYRA that started in a very modest way and has grown very every year since then, and now comes to the peak with us just having the right to air the jewel of one of the American's classics, said Mitchell Mulville, executive vice president and head of strategy analytics for Fox Sports. It says, it's amazing how far this relationship has come and is as friendly and innovative and productive as any contract relationship we've ever had. It's a great to see it come out in to this apex. The deal also gives Fox the rights of Multimedia Day Belmont Stakes Racing Festival at Belmont. And it includes NYRA Bets having the title sponsorship of what become the NYRA Bets Belmont Stakes. And also they sponsor the Belmont Stakes from NYRA, and it's going to be carried by Fox live. It says, with the Belmont Stakes switching from its current network, home of NBC, to Fox after this year's 154th edition, the move adds of what already amounts to be the largest presence of horse racing on one of the four major television networks. What started in 2016 with Fox Sports 2 airing 80 hours of NYRA's Saratoga Live Meet television show now stands at more than 700 hours through a deal with various Fox networks and runs through 2030. With a rather high profile hour or so coming on board in 2023 to join Fox flagship's properties. The Belmont Stakes is one of those events that every casual American sports fan is familiar with, Mulvis said. The 1.5 mile final leg of the Triple Crown, they know what the Belmont Stakes stands for. They know that it is where immortals in the sport are crowned. And the familiarity among the most casual fans obviously goes a long way when you have a Triple Crown on the line. We're going to treat it like it was, like what it is, an iconic event, American classic. It's one of the number of championships that we have in our portfolio and fundamentally what our business is all about. In presenting the premium live events, we definitely believe the Belmont is a premium as it gets. While acquiring the Belmont Stakes had been on Mulvey's mind for quite a while, negotiations heated up recently in 2021, a year that also saw Fox Sports and NYRA Inc. a landmark deal in March to present the circuits races, including the Run Happy Traces to 2030. So again, like we've been going talking about here, now all the networks are starting to realize that it's about distribution. And what I like about it, and it's kind of like we started doing here at IENTV, we laid the foundation and format to broadcast horse events of all breeds, all countries, and all disciplines on IEM. And we started out small and slow, and we literally cover every event that you can possibly have in the business, whether it's a small horse show or whether it's the Belmont Stakes. So now we're in a position to where we can come in and we can be a part of programs like Fox, and NYRA. And sure, we're small distribution, but it's all about accessibility and to that product. And the things that we have accessibility to with BBS radios like iHeart or iTunes, there's a multitude of platforms that we can get out on, and now we got to start marketing IEN, to those platforms and to those people. And what I like about it is that, you don't have to have a computer in front of you. You don't have to have a TV set in front of you. You can have your iPhone and you can go there, to our programming and get links to all the major, events that are going on throughout the world and everything. And see, what I like about here is we're international. Fox is going to be, pretty much here to the States and everything, but we're international. And what we do is we pick up clients like Fox and Sky Sports out of Europe, and we make available a link on our website to link to their website to see racing live. And so we're an important tool as a link. We're like an Uber driver, but we're an Uber TV person or an Uber social media person. You come to us and we get right to where you need to go, with one click and everything. So it looks like it's about time for us to go this week. Had some good news other than winning a race with a horse at Gulfstream on Saturday. Yesterday, got out of the doctor's office and found out that I'm 100% cancer-free now. And now I'm in good enough shape to where the next 2 or 3 months I'll be able to get in pretty good trouble down the road here, because I have no restrictions on my life now. And thank God. And the people at BBS, all the people that prayed for me. And it really helped me get through some trying times over 8 months. So we'll see you next week on the International Equine Report.